This podcast was recorded on Thursday, August 9th at 11:20 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like maybe they'll find more lost votes in the 12th Congressional District.
How do you lose electronic votes anyway? Let's talk politics. Welcome to Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at all those snollygosters out there, those crafty politicians doing whatever they can to get your vote. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Well, the polls were right. The last two independent polls indicated the 12th Congressional District special election had a 1 percentage point margin, and that's exactly what happened.
Can you believe how close this is? We are in a tie ball game, and you made this possible.
Yes, Danny O'Connor, we can believe it. We saw the polls, and no, you are not in a tie ball game. You are losing.
Well, we knew it would be close, but it looks like Troy Balderson will head to Congress, keeping the 12th district in Republican hands, but just barely.
When the polls closed Tuesday night, they showed Balderson beating the Democratic O'Connor by less than 1,800 votes, or less than 1 percentage point. A Wednesday audit in Franklin County added about 200 more votes for O'Connor. So at last count, Balderson's lead stood at 1,564 votes.
Those are those lost votes we referenced at the top of this podcast. That might sound like something O'Connor can overcome when you consider there are still more than 8,400 provisional and absentee ballots that still need to be counted. But some of those no doubt will be tossed, and political scientists say O'Connor's chances are slim, especially since the largest block of uncounted votes comes from the more rural Licking County.
And that is likely why Republican Troy Balderson felt comfortable claiming victory Tuesday night.
Time to get to work. Over the next 3 months, I'm going to do everything I can to keep America great again. So that when we come back here in November, get ready, we got to come back here in November. I have earned your vote for a second time.
Balderson there is referencing the November rematch that will feature him and O'Connor again. The winner of the special election will have the seat for the rest of this year. Then the two-year term after that will be determined by the November election. Mike, no real surprises. I mean, this is maybe the margin was closer than a lot of people thought, but the Republican barely winning is what it looks like at this point.
This played out exactly as everyone expected. We knew that Danny O'Connor was going to clean up in Franklin County, the suburbs of Columbus, the Democratic areas of Clintonville, parts of Clintonville vote in this district. Also, the district stretches the far northern edge of Franklin County from Dublin all the way over to Westerville. So we knew that Danny O'Connor was going to do well there. We knew Danny O'Connor was going to do better than most Democrats do in Delaware County because of the southern Delaware County with the suburban vote there. And we knew that Troy Balderson was going to clean up in the more rural areas. That's exactly what happened. It appears now, at least, that Danny O'Connor did not have enough to overcome the true strength the Republicans have in this district. This is a district where there are twice as many Republican voters
as there are gerrymandered district.
Democratic voters. A Democrat should not even come close to winning this district in a normal year. That's the news here, is that Danny O'Connor almost pulled it out and basically has tied Troy Balderson in this race.
And well, Governor John Kasich made some comments right in that vein. We'll talk about that in another segment coming up. What do you think was the key for Balderson? I mean, Balderson, quote, didn't blow it, if you will. Why do you think that is? How do you think he wasn't the best candidate, if you will. How do you think he pulled off the victory?
You know, he was a decent candidate. You know, he's a state senator, so he had a base of political support. He's very popular in his home area of Muskingum County. He's from Zanesville. He is well known out there. He's won elections before. He did not really make any mistakes during the campaign. He supported Donald Trump enough, but not overly supported Donald Trump, so he probably captured some, you know, moderate Republicans who still like Trump's tax policies and things like that. So he ran a decent campaign at the end. He got off to a slow start, and Republican folks will say that They were late getting their absentee ballot applications out to their voters. The Republicans were. Troy Baldasson did not raise as much money as Danny O'Connor did. He was helped a lot by national money that came in. So the key to this race was the national money that came in. And then you could say late appearances by Mike Pence, Donald Trump, and the ad. I think the ad that John Kasich cut for him really helped Troy Baldasson pull it over the line in the finish.
Do you think Danny O'Connor did as well as he possibly could have done? He overperformed when you just look at raw numbers, registered Democrats versus registered Republicans. And also the Green Party candidate, Joe Manchin, took about 1,100 votes, who you would tend to think they would lean more Democratic than Republican, maybe not necessarily voting for the Democrat, but they would lean that way. Could O'Connor have done anything else?
I don't think so. This was his best performance. Now, in November, there are roughly 71,000 more votes out there. If you look at the turnout figures, there was 37, 38% turnout in this special election. We can expect 50% in November. So there are 71,000 votes left to be had if both sides keep what they have now. So where are those votes? Are those votes in Franklin County, in southern Delaware County, even sort of far western Licking County, the New Albany area, where O'Connor can do better than previous Democratic candidates? Or are those votes out in Morrow, Muskingum, Richland, Licking, rural parts of Licking County? That's where the fight is for the next 3 months.
And Franklin County did disproportionately do better in terms of voter turnout in this race. Like you said, it was 37% for the whole election. In Franklin County, it was 42%, yeah, which you would think that would balance a little bit more during the general election, but who knows. Getting back to the Trump effect, I mean, the president was in Delaware County last weekend. Mike Pence, the vice president, was in town a few days before that. And you talked about how Baldasson was walking that line. Do you think it turns out differently if he doesn't have the big name support?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think Trump's visit cuts both ways. Pence, I think, probably helped him. I think Trump's visit cuts both ways because people who like Trump saw Baldasson, realized there was an election on last Tuesday. I think a lot of folks didn't know. I saw interviews with folks at the Trump rally who had no idea that there was an election.
And they lived in the 12th district?
Yes. And they had no idea who Troy Baldasson was. They were there to see Donald Trump. He mentions Troy Baldasson, get out and vote on Tuesday. So maybe some of those folks did that. When you only win by 1,500 votes, everything mattered. Everything mattered. Because if one thing doesn't happen or one thing could have happened differently, that's the margin between winning and losing.
And we should have an idea of where this stands August 18th. I love when stuff like this happens and you hear about little known state laws. It has to be 11 days after the election before they can start counting these absentee and provisional ballots. So August 18th. We should have an idea. Going forward from there, I mean, who knows? If it's within a 0.5% margin of victory, state law automatically triggers a recount.
This happened before. 2008, Mary Jo Kilroy lost to Steve Stivers. The vote tally after election night had her losing to Steve Stivers by about 600 votes. They waited the 11 days. They counted the provisionals, tossed out the ones that weren't valid, counted the ones that were. And she ended up winning by about 2,300 votes. So she was it was a much narrower deficit than Danny O'Connor faces. So it's happened before. But I don't think, he has to win, I think, 60 to 62% of the provisional ballots that are out there. And as you said, many of them are in Licking County, so we don't know.
And a lot of these are going to be thrown out. These are people, as provisional ballots go, you show up, you're not sure you're supposed to vote there or not. They let you vote anyway provisionally. And then if you're not supposed to be, the ballot's thrown out. So a lot of these are certainly going to be thrown out. That shrinks the number of ballots still out there and makes Danny O'Connor, his job, harder to come back.
Yeah, what happens is if you have ID and you're not in the district, they'll say you can't vote even provisionally. If you show up at the polling place and you don't have your ID and you insist that you are in this district, then they'll let you vote provisionally, and then you have those 10 days to go to your board of election, show your ID, confirm your ballot, and that way your vote can be counted. And that's what happened in 2008. I mean, Mary Jo Kilroy, it was almost like a second campaign. She was, I don't know if she was running ads or not, but she was out there every day saying, if you had a provisional ballot, make sure you get to the Franklin County Board of Election, or the Madison County Board of Election at the time. That's where that district was. So you're going to you likely will see that Danny O'Connor on social media and pushing that out. If you voted provisionally, go and confirm your ballot. I still don't think that he pulls it out, but it's a good sign for him in November.
I think political scientists have everyone I've heard from says his chances are slim at best. And you talk about the voter confusion that. It's because these districts are so screwy looking. I mean, they look like a sideways banana, or they look like the Florida Keys almost. They're crazy looking the way they're gerrymandered.
People who are not paying attention to what gerrymandering is and what redistricting means found out firsthand this election day. There are folks in the Clintonville neighborhood whose next door neighbor voted in the 12th congressional district. They went to their polling place. And they couldn't vote, and they couldn't figure out why. It's because the district is very creatively drawn, and in some parts of that neighborhood, next-door neighbors are in different districts. People across the street are in different districts. Now, there are district border lines everywhere, but these lines are so jagged, and they're so tailored to capture votes for either party that it really was a real-world, tangible example of gerrymandering that many folks experienced on Tuesday.
I was looking for voters on Tuesdays. I was just out reporting. I ended up at a district in Dublin, and I did not find anybody who was there by mistake or who had ended up there and should have been somewhere else. I did talk to everyone I talked to was voting for Troy Boulderson, and getting back to your point about them just people towing the party line, they were there because the Republicans only. The three people I talked to could not say a thing about Troy Boulderson. They knew nothing about him. And two people I talked to didn't really care for his comment about Franklin County. We can get that here in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when he said that this district should not be represented by someone from Franklin County, people from Franklin County who are Republicans didn't really care about that. I didn't think that was that big of a misstep. We'll get back to that in a minute. But as far as going forward for November, again, these same two candidates are on the ballot in November. How do you think this special election colors the race for November?
It'll be close again. I think that the turnout will be higher. Whether the turnout favors Democrats or Republicans, we don't know. My guess says that the Democrats will be even more energized that Danny O'Connor came this close, and now they can see he can win this district, which he really has no business winning based on the makeup of the district. So that might energize his supporters. But Troy Boulderson, if the provisionals and if there's a recount confirm his win, he wins. He's got momentum. He will sit in Congress. He may not take any votes, but he'll have a staff. He'll be able to do constituent services. He'll be able to be in the district as a sitting congressman. So that gives him some momentum.
He can say re-elect Troy Boulderson?
Yes. And the question is, he was vastly assisted by national money that came in late. I don't think he gets that same amount of support based on simple math. Republicans have a lot of districts to defend. He's not going to get the money that the special election generated. So he's going to have to raise some money on his own. But now that he's won, he might be better equipped to do that. He's proven himself. So he might be better equipped to raise money on his own.
Getting back to that sound I was talking about regarding Franklin County, let's hear that now. Troy Boulderson speaking last weekend.
We don't want somebody from Franklin County representing us.
There we go. Short and sweet. That gets to the rural urban divide that really played into this race.
Yeah, he was in Licking County, maybe it was Muskingum County, rural fair, Hartford Fair, I believe, the fair out in sort of just north and east of Columbus. And I don't know if that was off the cuff, a gaffe, or was planned. It really would turn off folks who are in Franklin County.
Not the ones I spoke to.
Yeah, and you'd think they would turn off folks who were in kind of leaning against him anyway, which maybe confirm their feelings.
Yeah.
But it's going to jazz up folks in the rural areas. I don't know. The view from Union County, how would they view that?
I don't think they would care. I think...
Would it cause them to vote against someone from Franklin County, if somebody were to say that?
That vote is decided. That comment did not affect that rural-urban divide at all. That's been settled by Trump for months, if not years by now. I thought it was a gaffe at the time, and then after going to Dublin and talking to Republicans who did not give two licks about it, I don't think it was a big deal. It probably helped them.
Had they heard about it?
No.
None
of the three I had talked to had heard about it. They were just there to vote for the Republican in the race.
They will, because you can bet that's going to be in ads this fall. that clip. How much it's played, they'll poll it first to see how it does in the district, I bet. And then it'll show up in Danny O'Connor ads or in ads sponsored by a Democratic-leaning group. And that, you know, to cause, you know, again, to fire up Democrats and independents that this guy is anti-Franklin County and he mm-hmm. doesn't represent you, that will be the message. And they'll know about it in the next few weeks. But it does show you that this district really showed that suburban-urban versus rural divide. The rural folks are all in on Trump. Suburban folks, skeptical at best on Donald Trump, and the Democrats and liberals are fired up to get rid of Trump, or at least get rid of Republicans in Congress.
All right, well, let's pivot now to our generously exposed governor, as you might say, in our weekly segment, John Kasich, GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
This is John Kasich, GPS, where we use our tracking device to monitor the travel and the national media appearances of the former and potentially future presidential candidate.
Not surprisingly this week, he was the go-to guy to analyze the results of the 12th District, a district he represented for 18 years. The day after the election, he was on MSNBC's Meet the Press Daily with Chuck Todd.
No, there's no question that people sent a message to the party, to Republicans, that knock it off, the chaos, the divisions. I mean, kids being separated from their parents at the border, these crazy tariffs. Hey, we're going to take your health care. We're going to kill Obamacare, which means you're not going to have any health care. Or, you know, if you have a pre-existing condition, well, you know, you might be out of luck. I mean, this is kind of what gets communicated. And what's happened here, I cannot describe to you how amazing it was that the race was close.
It's so amazing the race was close just because it's the Republican won, but the Democrats said, hey, and the moderate Republican said, hey. Cool it. Knock it off.
Boy, he sounded like a Democrat there, didn't he?
He sounded like a Democrat for 2 years now.
I know, but that one bite, I'm listening to that, it's like, those are Democratic talking points. I mean, there was no Republican talking point in there at all, but you're right. This is what he's been saying, but basically he was endorsing Obamacare in that soundbite, which was even far out there for him.
Yeah, he's been endorsing Medicaid expansion, certainly, yeah. for years now. And this gets to this cooling relationship between Kasich and Balderson. Kasich cut an ad for him in the days leading up to the campaign, but still has not been a total ally, or they have kind of a weird relationship.
Yeah, he was late to jump in and endorse Balderson. There was some reporting, I think it was Politico, it might have been another national organization, that said that he had to be convinced to support Balderson because he didn't like the way Balderson was supporting Donald Trump. They didn't like that Balderson opposed his Medicaid expansion, so he had to kind of be courted a bit. That doesn't surprise me really that much. And then Kasich let it be known that Balderson didn't invite Trump to the district last week. Don't know what the motivation for that is. It might have just been telling.
Trump just invited himself.
Yeah, telling tales out of school. But it also could be a signal that, you know, maybe Balderson's not completely in the Trump camp. Little signal again. You never know. And then Balderson didn't thank John Kasich on election night. He thanked Mike Pence. He thanked Donald Trump. And he did not thank John Kasich. Whether that was intentional or not, who knows?
Probably a politically smart thing to do at that point. I mean, Pence and Trump went more out of their way. I mean, Kasich never held a rally with him.
That's the problem that Balderson faced. Maybe he didn't want Kasich's endorsement until he really needed it, because a lot of Republicans in those rural areas do not like John Kasich. And if he's seen as a John Kasich Republican, they may not be motivated to come out and vote. Or if they see him as a Donald Trump Republican, they would be motivated. He's got a tough line to travel in this race.
It's great news for us. It gives us something to talk about till November.
Yeah, and both these candidates are good candidates. They're not. There's no skeletons in their closets. They're both, you know, good public servants. There's no Roy Moore-like candidate here where he's saying outrageous things or been accused of outrageous things. This will be a fun race to watch, and we'll see, you know, who turns out. That's what it comes down to. And we'll see how Donald Trump's activities over the next few months affect it.
Well, we will certainly continue to follow it. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. You can always find us on iTunes. Also, please give us a good review. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster on WOSU Public Media.